from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, February 14th. Coming up, parents in rural communities often struggle to find childcare. That leaves them to make some tough decisions. We'll learn more from Harvest Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A plan to move hundreds of migrants into a former Kmart on Chicago's southwest side is getting pushback from local officials. Alex Degman reports.
The state's Department of Human Services says it's turning the building at 71st and Pulaski into an interim congregate housing facility. The department says it would be large and safe with separate areas for meetings, sleeping, and recreation. But State Representative Angelica Guerrero-Cuellar wants to know whether the building is ready to handle 658 people who've been living in suburban hotels.
We haven't seen anything yet. I haven't seen anything yet. I haven't even been given a construction timeline, which is why I say we're still in the early conversations. We're still discussing this.
She also wants to know how children will be supported. CPS is not slated to get more money if the shelter opens. That was supposed to happen last week, but it's been put on hold until further notice. I'm Alex Degman.
In February 2020, Visit Champaign County revealed Destination 2023, a three-year plan to improve people's experiences in Champaign County. A month later, COVID-19 uprooted the travel industry and put the brakes on the county's plans. Laura Blyle was the chair of Visit Champaign County at the time. She says the agency shifted to a more local focus after COVID-19 hit by increasing its support for local businesses.
What we did, especially during the early days of the pandemic, was all about supporting local businesses. And we did that through, you know, various different means, social media, as well as the website, as well as just, how we were connecting, of course, at those times.
Visit Champaign County President Jane DeLuce says the agency will begin talks this summer about a new plan they're calling Destination 2026. Black male leaders visited Urbana classrooms yesterday to read to elementary students. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the annual event was part of National African American Parent Involvement Day.
Tracy Parsons was one of the volunteers. He read Speak Up by Miranda Paul to a room of first graders. Parsons leads the Champaign Community Coalition, which focuses on solutions to gun violence. He organized the readings to help students reacclimate after the pandemic.
I am really concerned about the loss of classroom time, so we have to accelerate our involvement and our support.
Parsons says the visits are also important because children need role models who look like them, and Black men are often underrepresented among teachers and school staff. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Officials at the University of Illinois' Krannert Art Museum say they're working to include a more diverse group of artists in their permanent exhibitions, as many art institutes have done in recent years. Curator Amy Powell says temporary displays have long been part of the museum's efforts to feature artists other than white men. The latest is an exhibition featuring art since 1948, which displays works by Latino, Native American, Black, and LGBTQ artists. But she says these kinds of displays have their downsides.
The challenge is that a lot of that work gets presented in temporary exhibitions that then go away. They're not always in our galleries, or they don't get collected.
Powell says she hopes these efforts for more permanent collections featuring a wider variety of artists continue, and that the movement for representation of traditionally minority populations in art institutes is here to stay. Still to come, a closer look at problems families face finding childcare in rural areas. That story from Excaret Nunez is coming up next on 217 Today.
Join us on Saturday, February 18th at 2 p.m. for a special screening of Let the Little Light Shine. The film follows a determined group of parents, students, and educators as they fight for a top-ranked, mostly Black, K-8 school facing the threat of closure on the south side of Chicago. The film's director-producer, Kevin Shaw, will join us for a Q&A session after the film as part of the Art House Experience film series presented by Illinois Public Media and the Champaign Park District. More info at thevirginia.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. There's a child care gap across the country of more than 30%, meaning the need for quality child care far outweighs the supply. And it's worse in rural areas. As Harvest Public Media's Excaret Nunez reports, rural parents often cobble child care together with friends and family, drive miles away to a daycare, or leave their jobs altogether.
Oh, I see mommy too.
Mommy!
Oh my gosh!
It's
It's pickup time for the kiddos at the Stillwell School's daycare in Stillwell, Oklahoma.
Bye-bye!
All the children here have parents who work for the small town school. The district opened the daycare in late 2019 in an effort to try and recruit new teachers.
We have people that would love to work at Stillwell, but they've told us that they can't take the job because we don't have daycare.
That's Matthew Brunk, the assistant superintendent at Stillwell Public Schools, who helped start the daycare. Brunk says he proposed the idea to the superintendent after he and his wife moved to Stillwell and had a difficult time finding any childcare in town.
So, talk about panic. We had no idea what we were going to do.
The lack of daycare in Stillwell isn't unusual. Nearly 60% of rural families don't have access to childcare, according to a 2018 study by the Center for American Progress.
Childcare is a key issue for rural development and really speaks much more broadly to general workforce attraction and retention.
That's Shoshana Inwood, a rural sociologist and an associate professor at Ohio State University. She says the lack of childcare in rural communities often forces parents to make tough decisions.
When families don't have access to childcare, somebody needs to leave the workforce or to stay home and take care of the children. So that's sacrificing additional household income.
But not only does a lack of access to childcare have a financial impact on families, it can have an emotional toll too. Ashley Fikowski is a mom of three living on the outskirts of Rolla, Missouri, where she says the only childcare options she would be comfortable with are at least an hour away.
We were really surprised, having moved from St. Louis, that there was no childcare unless you went through a church.
Fikowski stayed home and planned to reenter the workforce in 2020 when her first child was in kindergarten. But then she learned she was pregnant with twins.
I mean, the decision kind of made itself, but I really struggled with it a lot, especially at first. I was like so ready to return to work.
She and her husband are now hoping to move out of their small town to be closer to family and childcare so she can go back to work. Fikowski and her husband's struggle isn't unique. Nearly 30% of Missouri parents reported leaving a job or not taking a job in the last 12 months because of issues accessing childcare, according to a U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation report. It's a nationwide issue that most recently grabbed the American Farm Bureau Federation's attention. Emily Buckman is the director of government affairs and specializes in rural affairs for the organization. She says after hearing concerns from young families across the country about the lack of childcare access, the Farm Bureau put it on its list of Farm Bill priorities.
They see it as one of those elements that is kind of a make or break for folks wanting to live the rural life.
But there's no clear solution. Inwood of Ohio State University says creating quality and accessible childcare goes beyond building more daycares.
There's still the issue of how do you pay for that labor? Because childcare workers themselves are some of the most underpaid workers out there who don't have good benefits.
Back in Stillwell, Oklahoma, Matthew Brunk says the daycare currently has a wait list.
We don't want anybody that's great for our school system and great for our kids to turn down a position because lack of childcare in the community.
So the district will soon open a new facility and expand from 12 to 20 kids. I'm Excaret Nunez, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WILL. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly cloudy and breezy today, with a chance of showers this afternoon and a high of 57 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Sydney Wood, Emily Hayes, Owen Henderson, and Excaret Nunez. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.